My Body, My Decisions is an event that's happening on Friday, organised by the European Women's Lobby. What's it all about? Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome to the programme the president of the lobby, who is Viviane Teitelbaum. Viviane, thanks for joining us. What does My Body, My Decisions actually mean?
Well, it means that we European women want to raise awareness and really get the attention to the MEPs and to the commissioners at the European level and point out that it's very important that we keep our freedom of choice, that we keep our freedom as such, in fact, regarding our body, regarding everything that concerns women's rights. And therefore, we wanted to have an action that, you know, does a little advocacy on this.
But it's particularly, I think, about the right for women to have abortions, because there is some developments, legal developments within the EU that are going to possibly remove the right of women to have abortions on demand. Is that what you're trying to play for, abortion on demand, or is it a little bit more detailed than that?
Well, what we want to say is that we have now the last years seen in many different countries that the politicians are moving backwards. It's a backlash in terms of health, in terms of sexual and reproductive rights. And so what we really want to do is to keep, you know, it's very funny, but having to say that, but we want to keep things as they are. We don't want to go backwards. It's not even a question of moving forward in terms of gender equality at this point. We want the sexual and reproductive right and right to abortion to be considered as a basic human right and as a crucial matter for gender equality. And as you said, we've seen in many countries, we have four countries that are already today not accepting freedom of choice for abortion rights, which is Poland, Ireland, Malta, and Cyprus. And now we have countries like Spain, for instance, where the government has accepted wants to reform the law and wants to have this backlash in terms of right of choice for abortion. So,
if, sorry to interrupt, Viviane. If I'm correct, in Spain they're actually drafting a bill that would only allow abortion in the cases of rape or if pregnancy poses a serious physical or mental health risk to women. Now, from what I understand, this covers only 8% of the current cases of abortion. What are the other 92% of cases usually based on? It's strange because Spain, of course, being a Catholic country, one would expect the abortion rate to be quite low anyway.
Well, first you have to know that abortion rate is much lower in countries where abortion is legal. That's very important to know. Secondly, abortion can be a decision linked to a period of life where a woman does not want to have children, even if she wants to have children later. It can be a choice for economic reasons. It can be a choice because you already have two or three children and you don't want a third or a fourth. It can be many different reasons. It's always a very difficult choice for a woman. So those who advocate and say that, you know, if abortion is legal, then more women will go about this method and so on and so on, is really not knowing the problem that surrounds this choice of abortion. It is always a very difficult choice, but in countries where it is legal, you have centers and planning systems where women go and where they are heard and where they can discuss it. It's not a decision that's made the first time when they go to a center. It's a decision that's being discussed, that's being weighed, and that's being done in very good conditions. So,
okay, but I think you'd agree, Viviane, that at the same time, one doesn't want to see abortion in any way used as a form of birth control, for example. But it's very worrying that in Lithuania, if they pass the bill that is expected to be passed, I think, in a couple of months, then it would be actually a criminal offence to have an abortion, yeah, with, yes, a punishment, yes, of up to 3 years in prison. I'm not quite sure where that takes us.
No, exactly. It's a project at this stage, but that's why we really want to go in the streets on Friday and really raise awareness around those countries that are coming up with projects that really will put women's lives in danger, because that's what it's all about. Making abortion illegal is really putting women's lives in danger.
Sorry to interrupt again, but has anybody also thought of the fact that if women are forced to carry to full term a child that, for whatever reason, and I don't think it's for us to condemn or otherwise, but for whatever reason they don't want that child, are we condemning those unborn children to a possible life of misery because they will be resented and rejected by certainly their mother and possibly both parents?
Well, I don't know. Really, I'm really in favor of choice and for sexual and reproductive rights and for freedom of choice. But I don't know if that would be always the case. I think that some people probably would not want it, but then when the child is there, would welcome it. I'm not sure it would be condemning the child. Maybe that's going a little bit far. On the other hand, I really think that not allowing for the choice is putting health in danger, the mother's health in danger, is probably putting the family under a lot of stress and a lot of very difficult conditions. So I would turn it around and look at the problematic in different aspects. I don't have statistics about how welcome children that are forced to arrive in a family, if they are happy and how much happier or unhappier they would be than in another family. But it's really putting a lot of stress on the parents, on the family itself, and yes, then on the children, of course. But I think it's mainly a problem of really respecting gender equality, respecting women's lives, respecting women's choices. I think that's what it's about. Really.
Well, you're going to have, I know, some fascinating, I'm sure, stories from individual women who've suffered the consequences of being denied an abortion, and that will be fascinating too. You're gathering at 3 o'clock, I think, in the Place de Luxembourg in Brussels, yes, and it will go on for very nearly an hour. You're hoping, obviously, to change minds here, but can you actually do anything about these draft legislations in countries like Spain and Lithuania?
Well, the EWL is, the largest umbrella organization in Europe. We represent national coordinations in 30 countries, and we have we represent over 2,000 organizations. So, yes, we think that as we work in all those different countries, if we put some pressure, if we raise awareness, then maybe it can make a difference. And it also shows that women do care about those issues and that they're not going to be led to a situation where they cannot control their own body anymore, where they cannot control their lives anymore. And I think it's important that MEPs know that, that everybody knows that at 7 weeks away from the elections, that people in the European Union would be able to make choices based also on how their MEPs vote and how they vote in the European Parliament and the stand they take.
So you're wanting actually people who are going to vote in the European elections to check with the candidates they may be thinking of voting for what their position is on the right to freedom of choice when it comes to abortion.
Exactly. Yes.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Viviane. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Rosie. Thank you to everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Viviane Teitelbaum, who is the president of the European Women's Lobby in Brussels.